Our Bible study tonight is out of Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5, Godly Graciousness Toward Fellow Believers in General. Righteous living under the law could be measured in keeping two key rules according to Jesus in Matthew 22, 36 to 40, loving the Lord with all our being and then loving our neighbors as ourselves. Well, in the dispensation of the church, where the believer is no longer under the law, but he's to live a righteous life by means of the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 8, 3 and 4, the believer also needs to relate graciously to fellow believers in general. Of course, this truth is clarified in the practical terms in Galatians 6, 1 to 5. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word tonight. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you give us to fellowship with one another around the Word of God. We're so grateful, Father, for your Word and for your Spirit that you have given us so that we might understand your Word and then use it as we should. And thank you, Father, for the way you time the events of our lives to match what is in your Word. And we ask, Father, for wisdom to understand the application and also the truth that is taught in the Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Galatians 6, 1 to 5. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, in other words, those of you in the context who are living by means of the Holy Spirit, restore such an one in the spirit of humility, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now it's interesting. In verse 2 it says, bear you one another's burdens. In verse 5 it says, every man shall bear his own burden. On the surface that looks like a contradiction, but the words burden in those two different verses are different. It means something different, and it really makes sense when you look at it together. Anyway, the commands Paul gives in Galatians 6 apply his calling, verse 25 of chapter 5, that if we positionally live in the Holy Spirit's power, we must walk, or that is, live in dependence upon His power to live a godly versus a sinful life that overcomes the vainglory and the envy that provokes fellow believers to sin. See, there was a problem that Paul touched upon in verses 15 and 16 of Galatians 5. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then, brethren, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When people are not living by means of the Spirit of God, and he's talking about Christians, when Christians don't live by means of the Spirit of God, you can get into these, I say, bite fests, where you just sort of nip at each other and critique and give all sorts of bad words and so forth, and things deteriorate. I've seen over the years sometimes situations deteriorate into that, where Christians say bad things about one another or to one another and hurtful things. That comes because of a work of the flesh. It's not the Holy Spirit. So Paul is trying to counter this tendency apparently that they had at Galatians. So that's why he said in verse 25 of Galatians 5, if we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we're saved, let's walk in the Spirit. Let's depend upon the Holy Spirit so we stop biting and devouring one another. So Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5, address the need for believers to relate in the Holy Spirit's power with godly graciousness toward fellow believers in general, so as to counter such ungodly behavior. In the Holy Spirit's power, believers should restore fellow believers overtaken in sinful defeat in an attitude of humility or meekness, considering themselves lest they also be tempted. The ones taking the initiative to restore the fallen are spiritual, and of course in the context, this refers to believers who are depending upon the Holy Spirit for godly living. You'll remember back in verse 16 of chapter 5, it said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So a person who's walking in the Spirit is the spiritual person in the context. He's not talking about some giant in the faith. He's talking about some Christian who is relying upon the Holy Spirit. And so he's exhibiting love and joy, peace and gentleness, meekness and temperance, all these qualities of the Spirit. So that's the person that needs to restore the other person. Now, how about the one who's overtaken in the fault? The one who is overtaken in the fault is caught by a sin. The idea here is of a person who's tried to run. They've made it an honest attempt to get away from some sort of sin, but the sin has caught them. This is a person, for example, let's say they have a problem with alcoholism. They're doing their dead level best to put alcoholism behind them and everything. But someone comes over to the house and they bring a bottle. And they just can't keep from taking one drink because it's right in front of them. And they didn't go out of the way. They didn't buy it, but someone else brought it along. And so they just slipped and fell into that. It's a believer who's weak and who is vulnerable towards a sin that catches him. Now, he yields to it. He's still wrong in yielding to it. But at least he's making an effort. But he's having problems getting victory over it. It keeps tripping him up. This is not a person who, with a rebellious attitude, sticks his fist in God's face and said, I'm going to do what I want to do, and that's it. That's not that at all. This is a person who's trying his dead level best, and he's just failing. He's just weak. So, the believers who rely upon the Holy Spirit need to exercise meekness in reproving and rebuking and exhorting fellow believers who sin. Those commands, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting, are things that Paul told Timothy to do in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And having failed to rely on the Holy Spirit to handle some strong temptation, they need to consider their own vulnerability to temptations, lest they themselves be similarly tempted not to rely upon the Holy Spirit for victory over sin. Now, this can be really hard to do. If there's a believer who's sinning in your presence or who has fallen, the easiest thing to do is to jump on them and say, you know, you're not dependent upon the Spirit of God. Shame on you. Well, he already knows he's in shame. He's got a problem. What he needs is for us to come along and very gently say, you know, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Because if you rely on the Holy Spirit, he'll give you victory over this. And you won't be fighting and losing the battle all the time. And he may need to hear it 100 times before he actually applies it. But we need to be very gentle about it, because we have to keep in mind, we could sin too. We all have weaknesses. We can all get tripped up. Maybe it's a temper. It might not be alcohol, but it could be temper. Or it could be, you know, saying something that's slanderous or bad about someone else. It could be a host of different little things that, you know, we can trip ourselves up with. So if we see a brother or sister there that's having problems with this, with drug abuse or something like that, we need to just be real careful and real gentle how we approach it. Now, in the Holy Spirit's power, believers should also become burden bearers for spiritually less mature believers to ease their battles with temptations to fail to rely upon the Holy Spirit. The term burdens in Galatians 6:2 is from the Greek New Testament word bare. And this is an overwhelming load for which a party needs the help of another person to bear. This is like telling someone to pick up a pickup truck. Can't do it. He needs help. So that's what the burden is in verse 2. Bear ye one another's overwhelming burdens, unnatural burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is a believer that just cannot handle his alcohol. He can't say no. So what we do is, when we have communion services, we don't have. Now, some churches will actually put alcohol in the communion cup. We don't do that, because that will trip up somebody. We put grape juice there. But we don't want to put a stumbling stone in front of anybody like that. So that's how we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Conversely, the word burden in verse 5 is from the Greek word phorton. And phorton is like the word knapsack. It means the bearable pack that a marching soldier was assigned and was expected to carry. This is something you carry. Let's say you're going to take your water with you as you climb Talcott Mountain because it's going to get hot. You want to have something to drink. Well, you're supposed to be able to carry your own bottle of water if you're going to walk up the hill. Now, what we did, I think we left ours in the cooler downhill, so when we got back, then we wouldn't have to carry it up. But anyway, it's a back, and we've seen, in fact, when we've gone trekking and so forth, we've seen people with backpacks on. They can carry them. It's not an overwhelming load. It's a load that they're expected to carry. If you're a soldier and you're 18 years of age, you're strong, you know, and everything, you've got a pack that you're supposed to carry as a soldier. You got your shovel, binoculars, whatever you got. But it's a pack that you're supposed to carry. And that's the load that he's talking about, for every man shall bear his own burden. So in Galatians chapter 6, talking about this word phorton, the regular burden, according to Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, this is a burden that every one of us is able to bear. Let me just look at that verse. It's a very interesting verse, a section of verses that Jesus has. Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 28. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we're carrying the yoke that the Lord wants us to carry, the yoke that the Lord wants us to carry is light. It's not heavy. It's not unusual. Like I was saying in the Sunday school class this morning, the Lord has given me a yoke, and that is being a pastor of a church and preparing lessons and sermons and so forth. That's not a hard burden to do in and of itself because He's given me a gift to do that. Before I was saved, I couldn't do that at all. Getting up and giving a book report in a class, whew, that was deafening to speak in front of other people. But now sometimes I actually feel more comfortable in front of people than I do one-on-one. That's because of the gift. So that's not a burden for me. And each one here has a gift. And when you get involved using that gift, it's not an overwhelming burden. It's a very easy burden. I think, Judy, for example, you might have the gift of showing mercy or hospitality. You love to be able to come along and encourage somebody. To you, that's as easy as pie. Because that's a ministry that God has given you. That's a unique ministry and so forth. And Dan likes to fix on things and work on things. He might have the gift of helps. I don't know. My wife, Nadine, has the gift of helps too. But everyone has that capacity, an unusual ability, and it's not an overwhelming burden. It's a burden that we can all do. We can all carry. So, Galatians 6, 2-4, in view of Galatians 6, 1, addresses the spiritual believer's need to help ease an overwhelming weight of temptation for the weak believers. This ministry necessitates that the godly fulfill the law of Christ to love fellow brethren. And that's what Jesus had said. You'll recall in John 13:34, this commandment I leave with you, that you love one another. And we do this by laying aside our own conceit that lends towards competition that only offends weak people. In such humility, the spiritual are to lighten the temptation load immature believers face due to their failure to trust the Holy Spirit. Then Paul noted that self-conceit makes one spiritually fail anyway. Rather, and that's what he said in verse 3, if a man thinks himself to be something, in other words, he's proud and he's full of conceit, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. So if we have conceit, we've already lost the battle, because none of us has any reason to be proud about anything within ourselves. If there's any good there, it's the good that God has provided. So there's no grounds for being stuck up with a weak believer who needs our help. If anything, we need to come along and be very gentle and very humble with a person who has failed. So if we see that we have successfully relied upon the Holy Spirit, however, for victory over temptation, we should rejoice within, but not parade that fact before the carnally defeated, as that can only goad them to more sin. That's why Paul said, "Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another." You know, if we see that we're doing what we should do and we're depending upon the Spirit of God and we're having success in regards to alcohol and controlling our temper or bad speech and so forth, we need to rejoice, but keep the rejoicing to ourselves. Because if we share it with someone else, it could cause them to feel that we're trying to compete with them in their spirituality, especially if they're weak or carnal. Now, that's the last thing we want to do. But we can rejoice. If the Lord has given us victory in a certain area in our lives, we can really rejoice and praise the Lord for that. So, finally, verse 5 reminds the spiritual that God will hold them responsible to trust the Holy Spirit for victory over their own sin natures. So they best avoid self-conceit in their interactions with those who are weak in the faith, and that by relying on the Holy Spirit to that end. See, God wants us, if we know how to depend upon the Spirit of God, and we have the success of depending upon the Spirit of God, God says, I expect you to do that. That's your burden. Your burden is to rely upon the Spirit of God so you have success over that sin and that sin nature. Now, if you see a brother around who's having a terrible time because his faith is weak, instead of being proud about the fact that you're dependent upon the Spirit, because that makes you automatically, you're proud you've sinned. But anyway, he said, you need to be grateful if you're relying on the Spirit of God. But if you see a brother over here who's having a terrible time and his sin nature's got the best of him and he's mean and ornery, and what we need to do is to be very gentle with the person, very gentle with him, and deal with him in gentleness. Now, some people can get so ornery you have to kind of pull back and give them a little bit of space because they can get You know, they can bite your hand off if you're not careful. That's what 2 Timothy is all 3 is about. But we're dealing here with a believer who's doing his dead level best, and he's just flunking. No matter what, he's just flunking. That's the person we need to run alongside and just encourage and be very, very careful. So believers who rely on the Holy Spirit for victory over their own sin natures must watch that they keep relying on the Holy Spirit and help ease the temptations to sin of those weak believers who live in the flesh, and that by humbly, gently reproving, rebuking, and exhorting them to be restored to godliness. May we live dependent upon the Holy Spirit, especially in how we relate to one another. Now, we had an excellent illustration occur at the last church discipline meeting that we had. There was a brother in Christ who had been in our body who had fallen into a sin and who came back and confessed. And one of the deacons that we had in our church took him aside. I was witness to this before. He took him aside and he said, "Now, I want to talk to you." He said, "There's not much difference between you and me, because before I was saved, I was heavy to alcohol. In fact, I understand he used to drink one time within a half hour. He drank a whole six pack of beer. And he was so impervious to it at the time, he just, you know, he could handle it that particular time. He got saved out of that. He got saved out of a life of drugs as well." And so he talked to this fellow who had the same type of problem, the person who had fallen into the sin of alcoholism and so forth. And he said, "There's not much difference between you. To me, I just happen to have had some victory over it in my life now that I know the Lord. And I want to encourage you to depend upon the Spirit of God. You need to rely on God. Because if you don't, you're not going to get on top of this and stay on top of it." And he just spoke to him, identifying with him. And it was really neat. Watching this fellow who'd had this defeat, he was really listening. Because here's another guy who identified with him right at his level. That's the humility that God's looking for. We might not have fallen into the same sin, but the idea is that we need to convey to other people, "I'm here to be your helper. I'm here to minister to help you. I'm not here to condemn. You already know you got a problem. Okay, what can we do to be of help? Can I, you know, do you run into this temptation every night at 6:30? Can I call you every night at 6:30? You know, can I come over to the house? Can we go bowling or something just to take you away from that?" And that's what God wants us to do. And if we do that, God will cause us to be a blessing. And he'll minimize a lot of hurt that goes on. A lot of times there's a lot of hurt that goes on in Christian circles sometimes. And this is what Paul is concerned about here. And what we need to do is to minimize temptations to cause other people to be jealous or feel that we're trying to be competitive. But to come along and let everybody know, "I'm on your side. I'm in your corner. I'm batting for you." And that automatically obliterates a spirit of competitiveness, and then we can come alongside and help somebody. That's what we need to do.